Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So listen, I took some time on the t-shirt calls, but it was worth it. I mean, it was absolutely worth it. But I've got to get to a piece of the Montgomery fight right now in terms of litigation. Copper, go ahead and get, which one do I want? I'm going to go ahead and say get clip 3 ready, but clip 4 will follow soon thereafter probably. You got clip 3 ready? Like, are you saying you've already got it ready? Like you anticipated me? Oh, no. Okay. I see what you're... Okay. All right. Let me know when you got clip 3 ready, Copper. What I'm saying here, though, is A.G. Marshall, story out... I got two stories here. One, I pulled this off Yellowhammer, but then the other interesting thing was to see that Alabama made national news. So here's another one off of Fox. So the story off Fox points out that Steve Marshall, Alabama's attorney general, has announced on Twitter Monday that he had filed his lawsuit, actually he announced it Friday, to block a key part of President Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. He called it flagrantly unconstitutional. And Marshall, by the way, was joined by multiple other states. And Marshall went on to say that if one was to follow Biden's logic, I mean, basically by saying that a contractor can't be a contractor if he's not, you know, vaccinated, he went on to say that in Marshall's opinion, if one followed the Biden logic, then the president might be able to extend his power to the entire family of the contract workers by forcing them all to take the shots just to avoid the risk of home transmission. I mean, it really is, it's just unreal the amount of overreach here. A quote from A.G. Marshall was, if he has the authority to force shots on those employees, ostensibly to keep them healthy and working, then by that logic, he would have the authority to require the contracted employee to certify not only that he's had the shot, but that his wife and kids have too. This is just wrong. Well, listen, so clip 3 is Attorney General Marshall, and it's on my Twitter feed. You can find it if you want to, or on his own for that matter. Attorney General Steve Marshall issued a video statement about where he's headed with this. First of all, some thoughts on where we are, and then some thoughts on where we're going. Go ahead and play clip 3, Copper.
To finish, the president condemned a quarter of the nation's citizens. He sought to stoke hatred against millions of our fellow Americans, saying, quote, I understand your anger toward the unvaccinated. Declaring that his patience with the unvaccinated was over and that he was done accommodating freedom and personal choice, President Biden unveiled his new strategy, authoritarianism. He is no longer trying to persuade. He has decided to order the federal government to force over 100 million public and private sector employees, two-thirds of the entire United States workforce, to be vaccinated. Mussolini would blush. President Biden's vaccine mandates are contemptible infringements on individual liberty, federalism, and the separation of powers. For the sake of our nation and our people, we must and we will fight back.
All right. And he is fighting back. Lawsuit has been filed on the first piece of this, the most important in terms of timeliness piece. And don't take that to say that some employees are more important than others. Keep in mind there's two categories here. There's federal contractors, and then there's the issue of whether a private business, not a federal contractor, but a private business, just a private business that has 100 employees. I mean, because if you have 99 employees, they're not contagious, apparently, in Biden's eyes. But if you have 100, oh, that kicks it up a new notch. So the mandate would then be that there could be massive fines and penalties for employee groups of 100 or more. So what he's saying here is he's filed the first lawsuit because December 8th is the deadline for federal contractors, which has a huge impact on Alabama's economy. Let's see. Copper, how are we doing on time? We're not going to make it. I'm not going to try and play that clip right now. If we get time afterwards, Senator Elliott should be calling in top of the hour. But if we get time afterwards, then I'm going to play that clip of Attorney General Steve Marshall before I move on to the next topic. But what we're looking at here is a multi-pronged approach to this. I believe we have to have state legislation. I believe we have to have state legislation that our actual legislature passed. Much like a law in Congress, we have state laws, and those state laws give us a leg up. Because right now, and I just said something to somebody on Twitter a moment ago who was saying that Senate Bill 9, it has no parameters. It won't end discrimination. It just requires an employer to accept an exemption. Hello, it says federal law already requires this. Well, I disagree with your assessment because what we have is interpretations of federal law that are already overreaching and going in the wrong direction. But if you have state law, that provides clear and unequivocal mandates passed by our state legislature that we have the opportunity then to better defend the opportunity. Because that way they can't just interpret it the way they want to by Biden's vaccine task force. That's what we're looking at. State law creates an additional firewall, and I think in this case we have to have it. So Senate Bill 9 and Senate Bill 15 are on the Senate floor today, I believe, unless something's changed. I'll be checking on that during the break, and hopefully we'll have Senator Elliott coming on here at the top of the hour, but I know he's in floor debate, so if he gets tied up, we'll just keep moving. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, if you've heard the ads about Otter Creek Farm on the show, one of our team members, just understand that's a place that Charlene and I go to pretty frequently. I mean, I was out there not long ago. She and I both were one night for a wedding. We've been out there. We've stayed overnight out there. We've had dinners out there. I've gone shooting out there. I mean, it's a wing shooting destination if you want to hunt pheasant and quail, certainly. They got all the guides, the guns, the dogs. They've got the beautiful manicured hundreds and hundreds of acres. They've got facilities, though, that are bar none. Like if you want a corporate retreat, if you want a day off just by yourself, or if you want a beautiful meal, I'm just saying, Otter Creek Farm is amazing. Featured in Garden and Gun magazine. I mean, this place is just outstanding. Check them out. Their website is ottercreekfarmstead.com. That's ottercreekfarmstead.com. All right, well, listen, State Senator Chris Elliott was due to call in, but it's kind of hard for him to call in when I can look right now live online at the Senate chamber and see that he's actually at the podium right now debating Senate Bill 9, one of the vaccine mandate bills. So I know that he is tied up. So we'll get him on another time to talk about the aftermath of this debate. And I had the volume up a minute ago during the break because what is happening right now is that Democrat Senator Roger Smitherman is trying to filibuster the bill. And that was, I thought, Democrat Senator Bobby Singleton was also filibustering at one point. And that's, I mean, it's just painful. I mean, it's just filibusters. They're part of the process. They are part of the process. Everybody has the right. There have been times when, you know, I've gone to the microphone and started my first hour in order to move forward. But what I'm seeing right now, hang on, big news. We just had, you're getting this live. So what I'm seeing right now, it appears, is that a cloture petition was likely just handed it looks like the cloture petition was just handed by Senator Wagner to the dais. Should go to the lieutenant governor, who will announce, I would imagine, that a cloture petition has been invoked and that debate will end on the bill in the next 20 minutes. That comes from me sitting down there for 8 years. When I saw Jabbo Wagner walk down there with a piece of paper in his hand and hand it to him at the desk while there's a debate going on, it tells me exactly what's happening. They're about to try and end debate and get to a vote on the bill. We'll see how that goes. Some of the commentary, if you're following this, you know, blow by blow, one of the best, in my opinion, for giving you a blow by blow of what's happening on the floor of the Senate is Brian Lyman. He's a Montgomery Advertiser reporter. I'm watching on Twitter, and I can see on here where he's just talking about blow by blow, and it's the Democrats saying things like Senator Bobby Singleton, the minority leader in the Senate, saying, "You're just trying to keep us all sick around here." Well, that's ridiculous. Come on, Bobby. Singleton is pressing Elliott on a provision of the bill that allows employers to appeal an employee's exemption to the Department of Labor. He says the bill gives little, if any, power to the Department of Labor. I mean, some would say it goes too far. I'm not sure I want the Department of Labor involved, to be honest with you. Whereas the Democrats think it doesn't give the Department of Labor enough power. And I think that's ridiculous. The whole idea is to remove the opportunity for someone to be denied an exemption they should be otherwise allowed to have. And Bobby wants to make that tighter. Senator Singleton, I'm sorry, wants to make that tighter. Elliott responded, "The Department of Labor will make the determination based upon the claims of the employee, not the employer." He also suggested that an employer unhappy with the DOL's determination could go to court if they want to. Well, that is true. It's interesting watching the blow-by-blow. And then you got on here, too, Brian Lyman points out that not all the senators are on the floor right now, and when the time comes, it will take a two-thirds vote. Now, the way that works, by the way, having spent a lot of time down there, I can just tell you, not everybody's in the chamber for, you know, things like the filibuster, which can get just painful to sit there and listen to. So you go down the hall, you make some phone calls, you talk to constituents that are in the building, you get your bill ready for the next debate, you know, you go off and have a meeting about something. They ring the chimes. So at some point, minutes before the vote, they ring the chimes and you have to come down the hall in time to get there for your vote. So I suspect that even though not everybody's in there, Senator Wagner, the rules chairman, would not have handed a cloture petition to the desk if he didn't believe that when they rang the chimes, he would have what it takes. Because in order to get a cloture petition, and by the way, I used to serve on the Senate Rules Committee, so I would be one of the ones signing a cloture petition. And when you sign the cloture petition, you literally are saying, I, as one of the X number of members required, which in this case was 21 breaks the debate, invokes cloture, and you have X amount of time to complete the debate, which is 20 minutes, I believe, and then you go to a vote. If 21 members signed that cloture petition, then that means they're going to have the votes necessary to end debate, and then we'll see if they have the votes for the bill itself. Now, the bill is on the floor. All right, Senate Bill 9, because Senator Elliott's the one at the podium, that tells me Senate Bill 9, which is his bill, is on the floor. I was talking about it earlier, all right? It has changed. They went to committee on this, and they did what's called entering a substitute. So a substitute for, they've already adopted the committee sub, I believe, on the floor of the Senate. So that means there should be acting at this point on the substituted bill, if you will. Now, what it does is, first of all, they changed it so that it reads that this is for employers and contractors. In other words, it's not just for someone for whom you have a W-2 employee. It's 1099, folks. All right, if you're a 1099 contractor with a company, you're protected by this bill. It also says, though, that if you want to claim an exemption, that there will be a standardized form, and the form is very simple. It gives, and it's not uncommon, by the way, for us to have these in state code where it says, here is the format for the document, in this case, a form to be signed. All it says is this: any individual in the state of Alabama who is subject to a requirement that he or she receive one or more COVID-19 vaccinations as a condition of employment may claim an exemption for medical reasons or because the vaccination conflicts with sincerely held religious beliefs. You may request either a medical or religious exemption from the COVID-19 vaccination by completing this form and submitting the form to your employer. Then you have two options for checking. Check one, I'm requesting the exemption for medical reasons. Check two, I'm requesting the exemption for sincerely held religious beliefs. And then just print and sign your name. There's no affidavit. There's no supporting documents that I can see being required. There's nothing that says you have to explain it in great detail. There's nothing that says you have to have a doctor's excuse. I don't see that written in. It goes on to say in Senate Bill 9, which they're debating on the floor right now, that an individual may not be terminated on the basis of refusing to receive a vaccination if he or she simply submits a, or simply, if he or she properly submits a completed exemption form. In other words, that's your thing, folks. I mean, the onus will be on you to tell your boss, I want that form. I'm going to sign my name to it. The boss then is supposed to give you the exemption. If for some reason the boss don't want to do it, the boss wants to bow up and say, no, I don't think so. I'm just not going to do it. The boss's only option is to then file a claim with the Department of Labor and get a ruling from an independent examiner. And that examiner's ruling is going to be final unless either side doesn't like what the examiner says, at which point they could appeal the matter to circuit court. So that's the way Senate Bill 9 reads. Now, some of the beefs with this are it puts the Department of Labor in the mix. Yeah, I got mixed feelings about that. I had somebody text me just a minute ago and say, doesn't that put your name in a database? Well, your name's already in the database, I think, but I could see where that could be a point because your name has to go to a government entity. I don't know about the database piece because technically I think having your name on a form in your employer's file may already sort of constitute being known. But then again, that's also a personnel file, which is typically not revealable, so to speak. So yeah, I mean, I guess you could say, I don't want the government to know my name or what I'm doing. But then again, it's what you got right now. So the next thing is this. My question is this an unfunded mandate? Are we going to require the Department of Labor to come up with funds to pay for examiners that weren't there before? I hate unfunded mandates. I hate it when we go to the legislature, we say, this is a great idea, we should do this, never minding what it's going to cost the city or the county or whoever to do it. That's a question. I said before, I don't see anything in here that requires you to supply medical documentation. Now, I would suspect, though, if your employer under this law were to go to bat on the issue, that someone may then require it. So the question I have is the examiner required? Is the examiner going to be allowed to inquire further and get copies of your medical documents if you want to do that? It does not prohibit them in this bill from doing that, so I would suspect the answer is yes. However, the bill specifically reminds that they are to liberally construe this matter in favor of the employee. All right, folks, there's your layout of what life in the Senate is like. All right, that's 8 years talking to you right there. But what I'm looking at right now, we are seeing, in fact, that they are debating Senate Bill 9 on the floor of the Senate. If you were to go online and watch it yourself, you could listen to the audio, although I'm sure right now it would not be that engaging because it's a filibuster. Democrat Senator Roger Smitherman's at the left podium, and Republican Senator Chris Elliott, the sponsor of Senate Bill 9, is at the right podium. And they've probably got, at this point, 15 minutes left before the cloture petition is voted on, after which we may see a vote on the bill. All right, there you go. Listen, I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to unpack a little bit more about what the Attorney General's doing. And then we'll move on the Triple Dipper, probably give away some more T-shirts. Have a good day. All right, folks, listen. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I will be right back.